Welcome to Inventor's Inventions on ElectroMusic.com Radio. I'm Inventor, also known as Les Hall, that's my real name. My nickname is Inventor on the forum. And today on the show, we're going to do an overview of three inventions of mine that are my three current projects. If you've been listening to the past two shows, I've been covering the Car Plus Strong circuit board invention. But I also have the Boolean sequencer and the eChuck Lunetta boards. And we're going to start with the eChuck Lunetta boards and talk about those. Oh, and by the way, a little bit of introduction. This show is purposely technical in nature. It's intended for people who are familiar with music electronics, and people who know about circuitry and that makes electronic music and things like that. So be prepared for some somewhat technical details to follow. And we're going to open up some schematics in a few minutes and take a walk through the schematics as an overview of what these circuit boards are made of. To start with, I have a little eChuck sculpture that I made, and it sounds like this. Can you hear that? It's not a very interesting sculpture. It's my first one, and I did it as a test, and I can vary the frequency of this square wave that's being generated that you're hearing. There it is, really slow. And here it is, kind of speeding up a little bit. Let me change some of the other knobs. There we get a little bit clicky-clacky sound. What's this one do? There we go. Play with some more. Oops. Sometimes it shuts off. What this is I thought long and hard for a long time about a way. Well, let me turn it off now because it's not all that musically interesting. It's just a demonstration. I thought long and hard about ways to make eChuck sculptures using different kinds of circuit boards. And my first attempt didn't work at all. I had some circuit boards made and they were based on microprocessors, and I bit off more than I could chew, and it didn't work out. But my second attempt worked out really well, which is these little breakout boards. All they are, and I'm holding one in my hand right now, you can't see it. If you're familiar with a breadboard, one of those, they come in white or black, usually white, and they have an array of holes. And you can put the chips in, you can put the parts in, and a lot of the interconnect happens underneath, inside the breadboard. And then you put wires on top, and then it allows you to assemble the circuit in a way that is convenient. Well, I took a similar pattern and placed it on a little 1 inch by 1 inch approximately circuit board that holds one chip in the middle. It has power and ground running underneath the chip and five tie points on either side of it. And there are different ways that people can use these circuit boards. Some people would like to make their Lunettas using these circuit boards, because one way to make a Lunetta is to take your chips and put them on little circuit boards and run wires to banana jacks on the front panel to each of the inputs and outputs of the chip. Wire up your power underneath, and then you can hook things up however you want with jumpers. But I've seen a few of these, and they were very complex and difficult to work with because protoboards don't come chopped up in little pieces. They come in circuit board size, you know, like half the size of a sheet of paper, full of this array of holes and traces. And what's needed for Lunettas is little bitty versions of those. So that's what I made. And I had 100 of these circuit boards made, and I sold about 70 of them to friends on electromusic.com. And they're Jan called it the E-Chuck Cricket. Here's the E-Chuck Cricket again. Chirp, chirp. And as a test, and the other way that you can use these little circuit boards is you can make E-Chuck sculptures. And the idea is you would make a circuit board of any design that you like to put together, whether it be a Lunetta or some other type of design made of chips. And you can connect them together using 24 gauge solid wire, and that wire is rigid enough to hold the boards arranged in three-dimensional space to make sort of a sculpture. And that's what I've done here. What you were listening to, I'll turn it on again. What you are listening to is a little circuit board I call TIE Fighter, because it's made of three of these little postage stamp size circuit boards arranged in an H shape, somewhat like a Star Wars TIE Fighter spaceship. And the particular circuit I have it connected to, I have wired up on it, is a five-stage ring oscillator with five potentiometers. Just a single inverter chip with six inverters, one of them not used and the other five used. And it oscillates because it's a ring oscillator. Note that is not a ring modulator. Every time I say ring oscillator, people think ring modulator. They're entirely different things. They're not related at all. But anyway, enough of that. Let me unplug the batteries so they don't wear down. And I got these nifty little battery holders that actually hold the batteries when they're not connected. You just put the batteries in backwards and they snap in place. You can hear the snapping going on. Snap, snap. And they secure the batteries when not in use. Okay. That completes all that I wanted to say about the E-Chuck Lunetta circuit breakout boards. Except to say that I do have a few more of them. I plan to use them on different projects, or I could sell them if somebody wanted some. But I think pretty much everybody who wants one has one. Let's see. Let's move on to the Boolean sequencer. That's our next circuit board that I'd like to talk about. And by the way, the opening music that you heard was Boolean sequencer music, and I have more of it prepared. The Boolean sequencer is something that I sort of reinvented or created when I was first wanting to make a sequencer, and I was a beginner 2 years ago in music. Well, I'm still a beginner, but I was very green at that time, and I didn't even know how an 8-step sequencer worked, or how a Baby 10 worked, or what a Clay sequencer was. I had no idea of how I could play notes in sequence. So I just tossed around ideas, and what I came up with is this Boolean sequencer thing. And I say reinvented because it's it had to have existed many years ago in the early days of synthesizers. It's just too obvious. The only thing I've done is sort of embellished it and brought it into the modern day form to some extent, and so sort of somewhat popularized it among a few of my friends on electromusic.com. Why don't we listen to another song that was made with a Boolean sequencer? This song is called Maui Good Riff. Let's hear this. Okay, we're back, and that was Maui Good Riff, which is the music we're going to play today is all Boolean sequencer music, and it's all made with the Chuck programming language, so it's it takes advantage of different instrument models that are available in Chuck, and so you hear something a little bit more like an instrument than you might typically get from a hardware modular synthesizer, but the key is the pattern of the notes that is caused by the Boolean sequencer. So, let me get to my outline. I've got a link I'm going to post into the forum. Here it is. And let me open up Firefox. I'm going to guide you to the location of the Boolean sequencer schematics. If you happen to be listening to the recording, you can listen to how I tell you to get there and then pause the recording and actually download the PDF and look at the schematic while you listen to me describe it. So we go to electro-music.com, which you're likely to be familiar with, and then in the upper left there's a button called Forum. And we click on that, and I just clicked on that. And here we see the many, many different sub-forums organized into groups. It's a hierarchical tree of all the different stuff. And let's scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page where it says DIY hardware and software. And underneath that section, you'll see a link that says eChuck Miniature Modular Synthesizer System. Click on that link. And I just did that. And it takes me to the eChuck sub-forum, which is my little corner of electromusic.com where I talk about my projects and people offer ideas and suggestions and critique my designs and lend a helping hand, and it's a little focal point for the different things I work on. Anyway, we're going to go to, let me check my notes and see what page the schematic is on. It is on page 9. So let's go to page 9. You click on the little 9. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't even tell you what thread to go to. The thread is called the BSG eChuck DIY Project. And it's so named. BSG was supposed to be a single circuit board called Boolean Sequenced Guitar, but it divided into two separate circuit boards, the Boolean sequencer board and the CAR Plus Strong board. And today we're talking about the Boolean sequencer board primarily. So we go to page 9 of that thread and scroll down until we see a post from me that has bs10sch.pdf. And you can click on the download button and you'll get that schematic, and then you can follow along. And what I'm going to do right now is open up that schematic. I happen to have it in my show directory. Here we go. And it just opened up. Let me resize it so that I can see it a little better. La da 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 dee dee dee. Okay. Excuse me. Now, if we look at this schematic, to the lower left, we have the input power connectors and the power supply bypass caps. Excuse me. These are typically in place on every circuit board. You just put them in the lower left. And then in the right above that, we have the clock generator. Excuse me, my throat's a little sore. Tell you what, why don't we play a song while my throat calms down? Here's a guitar song that's made with a Boolean sequencer. Throat is a little better, and Dr. Steve in the chat room has mentioned that our little break there was also useful because it gave people time who are listening time to open up the PDF file. Okay, right above the lower left corner where we have the power in and the supply cups, we have a little chip there called a 555 timer, and it's labeled clock gen, and its output is labeled clock out. This is an oscillator, a 50% duty cycle oscillator with a potentiometer that controls the frequency. And this sets the tempo of the music. You can set it for 4/4 timing approximately by adjusting the potentiometer. Or you can make it kind of slow if you're looking for something spacey and you're feeding the output of this into a reverb unit or something like that, echo reverb chain. Or you can make it really fast if you want to do something like that. So that's an adjustable clock generator. And right above that is a little switch that's labeled reset gen, and it has reset out, and this is what generates the reset for the binary counter. Now also way above that in the upper left corner we see clock in and reset in, and both of these go through some resistors into a 40-40 binary counter, which is a 12-bit binary counter. We're using the lower 8 bits of the counter. And the idea here is that the clock clocks the counter, and the counter counts out a binary sequence from 0 to 255 that will be decoded in order to create the music sequence. And when you hit reset, it all starts over again. And I have these specifically, the reason I have them wired with clock out, reset out, and clock in, reset in, instead of hardwiring them on the board, is because there is a way that we can configure this circuit board to daisy chain together with other such circuit boards and synchronize them. And the idea is that we would have a stereo eighth inch jack with normally closed connectors on the clock in and reset in, normally closed switches, and an ordinary eighth inch jack with or without the normally closed connectors. They're optional, they won't be used on the reset out and clock out. And we'll put reset on, say, the left channel and clock on, say, the right channel, with ground on the sleeve, of course. And the jack will not carry, the wires will not carry audio. They will carry the clock and reset signals that get passed from board to board. And whichever board does not have a connection on its input will have the normally closed switches closed, which will cause it to be the master. And all the other ones will have the normally closed switches open, which will cause those to be the slaves. And that's how that works. So the binary counter counts along its merry way, counting out its 0 to 255 pattern. And then to the right of that, still in the upper left corner, we see 8 transistors, 8 MOSFETs, P-channel MOSFETs. And the reason for these MOSFETs is because the binary counter chip is not capable of driving enough current for the logic section that we have chosen to use on this circuit board, or that I have chosen to use. And that means that we need something to boost the current, something digital, some kind of switch. And that's what I've done here, is I've used MOSFETs as a digital switch that will, it actually performs a logic inversion, and then each one of them has a series resistor that goes to the ladle section. Now in the upper right corner you see a bus an 8-bit bus, and it's marked LEDIL, L-E-D-I-L, and that stands for LED inverter logic, light emitting diode inverter logic, which is the silly name that I came up for this wacky sort of logic that I created. It's a throwback to the old 1970s concept of diode transistor logic, or DTL, or RTL, resistor transistor logic. It's I realized that if you could make logic functions out of diodes, then why not use LEDs in their place? As long as you drive enough current into the LEDs, they will light up when appropriately when their logic signals are applied to them. And then we get this fascinating, blinky, wonderful little LED output stuff that everybody likes to see on a front panel of a modular synthesizer or directly on the circuit board. So that's the idea behind the LEDIL using LEDs as logic. So let's take a look at the LEDIL section. Now there are 6 identical sub-circuits in the LEDIL section. Each one of these performs a NAND function. And, wait, is that right? Each one of these performs a NOR function. That's right. That's right. And the way the logic works is that we have inverted the input bits. So we need a NOR gate. Well, let me give you the overview of what we're trying to accomplish here. The way the Boolean sequencer works is you take a binary counter, you hang logic off of it, and then you use the logic outputs to generate your control voltage as well as your gate signal. And the control voltage is made with a mathematical summation using an op amp of the different logic outputs, and the gate signal is made with the logic OR of all of the inputs. And we're using sum of product logic here. I hope I'm not confusing you because this is a little bit technical, but we'll get there. We're using sum of products logic here. And so what we really want is AND gates on the inputs and an OR gate adding them all together. Well, we have inverted the output bits because we needed more current to drive the LEDs. So we use those MOSFETs and they perform an inversion of each bit. So, if you remember, or if you happen to know about Boolean algebra, if you take an OR gate and you put an inversion on each of its input, that's actually equivalent to a NAND gate. And then we have an inverter following each of those, so we get an AND gate. So we're kind of playing games with double inversion and using an OR gate in order to create an AND gate, if that makes sense. So looking at those sections, you'll see that each section has a dip switch, a dual inline package switch with 8 little rocker switches at the input. And the way that works is you can adjust those switches to create your logic matrix pattern. And the way you control this thing is you tune your clock to get the tempo you want, and then you adjust your dip switches in order to create the pattern sequence that you want. And the pattern will be 256 notes long. So it's perhaps one could say it's a little bit more complex than like a typical 8-step sequencer, only because it basically has 256 steps. And we can make these with, like, I'm only using 8 bits of the binary counter, but we could use up to all 12 bits, and we could chain them together to use more than 12. And 12 bits is what? 5, 12, 10, 24, 20, 48, 40, 96. 12 bits would give us a 4096 step sequencer, which would be quite involved, quite an entire song that you could create using those dip switches. However, there's not enough room on the circuit boards to use all 12 bits, so I chose to use 8. It's a good compromise. So we have what I call a logic matrix. It's a 6x8 logic matrix formed by these switches and the LEDs and the inverters following them. Let's see, what else can I say about the ladle? There is a pull-down resistor that you can see right at the input of the inverter. And that resistor allows a voltage drop to exist so that the inverter will switch. And then, in order to perform current sharing, there is a resistor after each of the transistors, the MOSFETs. Because if we were to put LEDs in parallel, they might not share the current properly. So we need a resistor on one end and a resistor on the other end. I'd really love to get rid of the resistors at the MOSFETs because they take up a lot of room on the circuit board, but I think they're necessary. They might not be, but it's better to have them in there. We can always replace them with wires if they're not important once we find out in practice. Now, okay. We've discussed the ladle, and so we have 6 outputs. And these outputs appear on the right, and they form a bus that travels to the left and goes down into the resistors that form the CV sum circuit. This is an inverting op amp circuit with a TLO-74 op amp. And it has a potentiometer in its feedback loop so that we can adjust the gain of the control voltage. Now, if you happen to be wiring up the circuit with a front panel, or if you're creative with a little creative soldering, you can replace those 6 input resistors with potentiometers. And then you can have each logic term have an adjustable amount of effect on the CV sum. I didn't do that on this circuit board because there's not much room for it, but that's something we'd like to see in the future. And by the way, when I keep talking about not much room on the circuit board, you say, well, why don't you just make the circuit board bigger? Well, we have what is a software limitation. I've decided that the best computer-aided design tool to use for this is a very popular circuit board design program called EagleCAD. And Eagle has a circuit board size limit on the freeware version of 3.15 by 3.85 inches. And that defines how big of a circuit board that we can make. Now, once we start selling these boards, if they make a profit, I might one day be able to afford to buy the professional version of EagleCAD, which allows a larger circuit board. Unfortunately, that's $750, so it may not happen for some time to come. But It's the limitation that we're working with right now. And it's a fairly generous size of circuit board, so I'm not complaining. They've given us quite a lot for a freeware version, and I'd love to upgrade to the commercial version as soon as I can afford to. So anyway, the output of that CV sum goes to the right, where we have an output pad called CV out. CV minus out, actually. It's inverted because the summing amp inverts, and it will be a voltage that goes from ground to a low value. Then I have an inverting op amp with a gain of 1 called CV invert to produce CV out. So we have CV out and CV minus out, and the idea there is that you can choose whether you want the existence of more logic terms being active to create higher notes or lower notes. So you have that choice. It was simple enough to add, so I added it, and it provides a little bit more flexibility. Okay, next up we have the stim compare. And the stim compare is a comparator circuit that gets sort of combined together. It's a comparator circuit made out of op amps, because there's only enough room for so many chips. There I go, talking about the space on the board again. So in between the two op amps there, you can see a reference voltage, and then one of them gets its input from way over to the upper left. There's a our clock in snakes its way all the way down and to the right until it gets to one of the inputs, and the CV invert output goes into the other one. And there are two resistors at the outputs of the op amps, and these go into another p-channel MOSFET, which has a pull-down resistor on its output. And the idea here is that what we're looking for is a pulse. We want a stim pulse. We want a pulse that's going to begin at the beginning of each note and happen just once for that note. And we want to be able to adjust the pulse width of that pulse. So, I actually, at this particular moment, I don't recall exactly how I worked out the circuitry of those resistors and that MOSFET. How does that go? If both of the outputs are high, then the MOSFET is off, and the resistor will pull down the output, which goes to the trigger in of the stim pulse circuit, which is a one-shot 555 timer circuit. And that circuit has a potentiometer on its on one of its pins that will adjust the pulse width. And through software, by connecting Chuck to the Car Plus Strong prototype that I had built, I discovered that somewhere between 1 to 10 or 1 to 20 milliseconds or so is an appropriate stim pulse width. So that circuit has been designed to provide that amount of pulse width. So when the stim compare says so, the trigger goes low, the pulse comes out, and the stim out goes to Car Plus Strong. And that's what creates the note that comes out of the Car Plus Strong board. It's the gate signal, the gate pulse. So, there we have it. That is an overview of the Boolean sequencer schematic. And I think I covered everything. Let's check in the chat room and see what people are saying. Let's see. Dr. Steve has been following along. And the State Machine Bill Manganiello has entered the chat room. And not a lot going on in the chat room. So let's move on. Why don't we listen to a little more Boolean sequencer music? This is a tune called No Jazzy that I created maybe a year ago, something like that. Let's listen. Okay, we are back. And Dr. Steve is following along with us, and he has asked some questions in the chat room, two questions. Dr. Steve is, and he compliments me on the explanation. Thank you very much, Dr. Steve. He asked, do you have any idea how much parts might cost for this project? Well, actually, these two projects, the Boolean Sequencer Board and the Car Plus Strong Board, are the first modular synthesizer boards that I have worked on. And as such, I don't have too much experience in the exact nature of the cost. However, there is nothing fancy or expensive on the circuit boards. There's no $20 chips, no gold-plated anything, no special fancy whatever, no mil-spec parts or any Tempco resistors or any of that business. So the cost will be reasonable. If I had to guess, I would say you could place a DigiKey order for $50 to $75, including shipping. Probably better make it $75 to be safe, and get an abundance of extra parts. Socket your chips and it depends on also. If you're making, there are two ways to use the circuit board. You can use it in a standalone brick style with a car, paired with a Car Plus Strong Board, in order to create sort of a single voice of a music maker, or you can make it as a front panel connectorized modular synthesizer board. And if you were to do that, then you would have to buy your quarter-inch jacks or your eighth-inch jacks or your banana plugs. And if you don't have a power supply, you would need a power supply. So from a beginner standpoint, there's some startup cost. But the board itself doesn't have a whole lot of cost to it. There's nothing super expensive or fancy on it. It's just a bunch of LEDs, some dip switches, and a little bit of chips. Bunch of resistors. So, nothing fancy. Is this suitable for a novice solderer? There is nothing, again, a similar answer. There's nothing very special, unless there's always the possibility that the circuit board will have a mistake and you'll have to do a cut trace or a jumper wire or something, but assuming everything goes smoothly, it is suitable for a novice solderer. If you're not familiar with soldering, I recommend a little bit of practice first on get a piece of circuit board and solder some resistors into it. If you are a novice solderer and you want to build this project for an extra, I think it's $2.50, I can throw in a single one of these E-Chuck Lunetta circuit boards, and you can do a little practice on that and figure out how to solder before you do the main circuit board. And the third question is, will the dip switches wear out? I've never experienced any trouble with them, but people don't usually use them a whole lot. I'll tell you about the dip switches. They're not particularly fragile. You want to be careful to get the kind that has a rocker switch to it, so that you can use your fingers to adjust the dip switch pattern. Most dip switches do not have a rocker on them, and you would use a pin or a little dowel or piece of wood or stick or something, and use that to change the dip switch positions. And you want to be careful if you're building this circuit board to buy the kind of dip switches that have rockers on them, so, you know, as I said, so that you can use your fingers. So will they wear out? I don't know what the life of them are, but it's going to be reasonable, I would think. Now, in addition to that, what some people have mentioned is that they would like to panelize this and not use dip switches on the circuit board, but rather they would like to use toggle switches on a front panel, as is conventional style on a modular synthesizer project. And if you choose to do that, you'll have an array of 6x8 toggle switches. So that's a lot of switches and getting into some cost, but people do pay for their modulars. And it's the nature of the beast. That's the way it is. And then you can have the circuit board hidden behind. And what was someone mentioning? I believe it was Paul. Paul Edison Rex, who mentioned that he would like to use headers. That's what it was. That you can use headers in place of the dip switches, and bring use ribbon cables on the headers to come out to the front panel, and then wire up your toggle switches that way. So this the circuit board, it's kind of a dual function sort of thing. And to give you an overview, these boards, the Boolean sequencer board and the CART Plus Strong board, are designed to work together. They're on the same footprint with the same hole pattern in the corner, so that you can mount one on top of the other with standoffs and make your own little sort of brick of music. And you can make multiple ones and daisy chain them together and make a song generator. Dr. Steve asks what headers are. Headers are a way of connecting to a circuit board that, what do they look like? They're a row of pins. They're a row of square pins that solder on 0.1 inch spacing that solder into the circuit board and provide you with. Have you ever seen, Dr. Steve, have you ever seen on like a PC motherboard where you had jumpers? Remember the old days when you had jumpers on a circuit board and you had to pull this thing off a jumper and put it onto another position to tell the circuit board how much memory it has or what have you? Well, those are headers. So they're like little pointy things that stick out of the circuit board. And you can buy connectors that plug onto the headers that have ribbon cable and then bring that out to the front panel. So that's another way. You can either make the brick or you can modularize it. So, like the back of a hard drive. Yes, Dr. Steve. Like the back of a hard drive where you plug the ribbon cable into that connector. That's a header. Okay. Very good. All right, and by the way, This is an exciting week because this week the CarPlus Strong circuit boards arrived. I'm holding a bubble wrapped package. I haven't opened it yet because I'm waiting until I mail them out. I have to buy some bubble mailers and mail them out. I sold to friends on electromusic.com all but one of them. And I'm keeping one and I bartered one. So that means, how many did I sell? 7 of them. Sold 7, bartered 1, kept 1, and there's 1 left over. And some of these I sold assembled, so I'm going to be doing some soldering myself. So the boards are going out this week. And we have just 7 minutes left in the show, so why don't we play a little more Boolean sequencer music? I had planned to talk about the CarPlus Strong board, but we did that for 2 weeks in a row. There's no need to get into that. We spent plenty of time on the Boolean sequencer board. And up next, by the way, is Bill Manganiello, State Machine, with the soldering musician. He'll be on for, I believe, 2 hours plus, something like that. And here is, let's see. Here's a song I like called Guitar Lab Rock One. You may have heard me play it on other shows, but it's a Boolean sequencer song, and it lasts just long enough to almost end the show. So let's give it a listen. We'll be right back. that'll close out the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And also, especially thank you to everybody who made a contribution to the Boolean Sequencer and Car Plus Strong Circuit Boards by posting to the thread or talking in the chat room. It really would not have happened if it wasn't for the help from everybody involved. So it's a team effort. And in the coming months, not too many weeks from now, I'll be sending these Boolean Sequencer boards out, sending the design out to be manufactured, and we'll give them a try. So, thanks everybody for listening. So long. Until we meet again. Bye-bye. So long, switch me off, fade me out. The show is over.